Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manipro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Manipro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is the lovely poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Poorman. Today is Tuesday, June 28th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon or morning on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter and, of course, become a fan on Facebook. You can click on the button there at our website, or you can just go directly to facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, we want to invite you to join us in the ever-so-fun live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other backyard poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the country. You can also ask any questions you may have for our wonderful special guest when we have them on. Just click on the Chat Now button at our homepage there at Blog Talk Radio. Most of the time, the chat room automatically opens up below. Just scroll down and you'll see the chat room. You'll automatically be entered into the chat room, probably as a guest, unless you take a moment to register. We ask you register so you can get your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you too can come on in, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk all about our hobby and passion and lifestyle of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, preparedness, and of course anything else that just might tickle your fancy. We would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today, and again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manipro. Manipro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Manipro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Manipro, nurturing life.
Designed for starting and growing game birds, turkeys, ducks, geese, and broilers, Manipro's Game Bird Showbird Crumbles feature 24% protein and a combination of vitamins, minerals, and yeast culture. This complete feed does it all, from growth and weight gain to healthy development and even improved digestion. So next time you're starting some new birds, try Manipro's Game Bird Showbird formula and see the difference.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find a lot of Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run. But do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
And let's get one more down.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is now time. We have to do this, folks. We just have to do this every show. And what kind of show would we have without doing this? But it is now time to welcome our co-host, poultry advocate, bagel and coffee lover herself, and don't forget, compost model queen, it's Pat Foreman.
You're scratching the bottom of the barrel here. Hey, how are you doing? Here we go. It's Tuesday already.
I know. I can't believe it. I was thinking, wow, Brody's going to be here before we know it, and it'll be another great, fun Friday. But,
yesterday.
Saturday and Sunday flew by so fast, especially yesterday, Pat. We woke up and got a few things done around the house. I had some work I needed to get done, some letters I needed to mail and whatnot. And then lo and behold, it was 1 o'clock, and we loaded up the car and we headed back to Atlanta. Boo! But we had a few things to do up there. We had to get our Jeep Cherokee from a friend's house because you can only drive one car at a time. Maybe I need to work on that somehow, but then something where I can drive two at the same time. But we went up there and we had the Jeep Cherokee full of stuff that wouldn't fit in both U-Hauls, believe it or not. So we picked up the Jeep. We stopped by the post office. We stopped by Manapro, and always good folks to see the good folks there at the Manapro Mill. We picked up some calf manna, which is just awesome, 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 and the goats absolutely love it. So we stopped by Manapro to get some of that. And then, of course, we stopped by to see her mom just for a second because her mom actually works about literally just a few hundred feet from the Manapro Mill there in Atlanta. So we stopped by to say hello to her. I'd have felt really bad if we wouldn't have, being that she was that close. So we had to stop by and let her see her grandchild. And then we... last night, Pat, one of the reasons why we kind of orchestrated this trip yesterday was because once a month, I think it's the last Monday of the month, there's a holistic moms meeting that takes place up kind of near our house, and we really like the people there, and it's for men and women and kids and everybody else. And let's see, last month it was all-natural suntan lotion you can, I think, make at home, and maybe bug spray as well. And then the week before that, it was something else. I wanted to attend last night because it was all about vaccines, all about vaccines. So we feel that, wow, after we've been researching vaccines long before Caleb was here. I mean, we're talking years. So But we wanted to attend that to see what other folks were talking about, and the young lady, the leader of the group, had some great handouts that she gave us. It was very interesting. So we attended that, and then I guess it went from 7 to 9. It's held at Whole Foods, so of course I, the last 30 minutes, made a mad dash to a buggy and went through Whole Foods. I do the shopping in the family, so I know where everything is and know what we get anyway. So wham, 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 wham. And I forgot the cooler, so I couldn't get a lot of cold things, but I'd get some frozen goods and a lot of staple goods. So got that, loaded up the car. We finally got out of there about 9:15 or 9:20, and yep, last night made the trip home all the way back down here to Ideal. With no Atlanta traffic, having to get up there and get back, the trip probably takes about 2 hours and 45 minutes. If you hit the red lights just right, maybe 3 hours. If you hit Atlanta traffic, it could be 4 hours. But with no traffic, we made the trip in about 2 hours and 45 minutes, and then maybe 3 hours on the way up there. And I have a special announcement, Pat. It's lo and behold, I can't believe it. Out of everything we see driving around town up in Johns Creek, you come to believe that a DVD is required in the back of your SUV if you have kids. It's just something that the snowball is just going to melt coming through hell if you don't have a DVD in the back of your car for your kids on that five-minute trip to the grocery store. But lo and behold, Caleb made the 3-hour trip up and back. In fact, on the way back, it was Jen in the driver's seat. I was in a completely separate car, and there was Caleb in his car seat in the back seat. And boy, the trooper did absolutely fine for the 3-hour trip. We had a little walkie-talkies because we get in a rural area, so we carry our walkie-talkies with us when our cell phones don't work. And I asked her, we were about 10 minutes from home last night, and I said, How's my little trooper doing? And he said he's starting to kind of coo and goo-goo and gaga and all that. You know, he's waking up a little bit about 10 minutes before we got home. So he made the trip absolutely fabulous. But lo and behold, without a DVD or a pacifier, I think that hell is actually... Hell must be freezing over. Hell must be freezing over, because I just thought that you just had to have a pacifier stuck in your kid's face and a DVD if you're ever going to take a trip. But lo and behold, we didn't. So it was a long day yesterday. We even had to go through a couple of really bad storms with some hail, but we just put the hammer down and drove right through. But it was a long day. But lo and behold, we're ready for another day here as down here in the metropolis of our homestead with our little family, and looking forward to it. But that's what we did yesterday. It made for a long day. How about yourself?
Oh my! Well, I think that's great news. That's you know, some of the smallest news like that is so the most dramatic and satisfying. So that's in so many ways it really is the personal news that's so important.
And it's fun. It's interesting.
Yeah,
sometimes.
And it's fun. Yeah. Well, gosh, Andy, as I mentioned to you earlier last week, I'm getting ready. I've never done this before, and I'm a little intimidated by it. But I'm going on retreat starting this evening.
Nice.
And it's luckily it's local, so I don't really have to travel anywhere.
But, yeah.
But it's a 5-day silent conscious breathing retreat. So we're going to focus on our breathing and our minds. And the purpose of this is to just to kind of get control of that little monkey mind we all have, you know, that little da-da-da-da, chatter this and chatter that, and kind of getting out of control. We all have our dragons, you know, and even Gandhi said our biggest battles are fought in our own hearts. So this is a path kind of to tame the dragon and a little whatever's in our hearts, it'll help make it clearer. So it's really interesting. They say the first 3 days are really hard, and then it gets almost like a dream state, like you're not sure whether you're in this dream state or that dream state or whatever. So I'll report on that next week when I get back from it.
Okay.
It should be interesting. It should be interesting. I've never sat that long before.
Huh.
So, as ADHD as I am, and as many projects as I have going on, I think it's going to be a challenge for me.
Well, that's something, you know, it doesn't, you know, but, you know, that's a totally different situation than sitting for long drives or sitting at work for many hours at the time. But normally it doesn't, man, when I get in the car, we may be going to Florida soon, and we want to remind everybody so it doesn't catch them as a shock. Pat and I, we broadcast this show every single day throughout the year, Monday through Friday, an hour and a half. There's pre-planning, there's post-planning. It's really involved, and we're glad we have the thousands of listeners that we do. Hopefully we're doing the right thing, and we think it shows. But we do take the major holidays, I guess you want to say the federal holidays off, maybe a few days around Christmas, a few days around Thanksgiving, a day or two at New Year's, Good Friday, things like that that we take, that most people take the holidays off, Memorial Day, Labor Day, things like that. But just as you take family vacations with your family, Pat and I, we try to take a couple of vacations a year as well. We try to make those during the summer because we know other families are taking vacations during the summer. So we're not sure yet. We don't have the exact dates, but we may be taking a week here or there over the next 2 or 3 months to enjoy ourselves and our family and relax away from the daily routine of Monday through Friday and putting on the radio show. So we'll give you updates on that and the schedule and whatnot. If Pat's gone, we may have a little Facebook band contest for a guest host to sit in. I can assure you it will not be Jesse at Midbird, but I'm just kidding. I had a jab there for Jesse. But pardon me. But yeah, so we just keep you updated that there may be a week here and a week there that there will be no show because we need to have a good family time with our family and a little vacation as well. But yeah, you'll have to keep us updated on your.
I will find out. It's going to be really, really interesting. Like I said, because it's a whole new ball game for me. But I figured I've got this opportunity, and it just kind of popped up, and it seems timely, and it just kind of hit me right in the face. Here it is, Pat. Jump off the wall. You know, they never lose the opportunity to jump off the cliff and fly, or die, which either one. But I decided, why not? One less thing. Ooh. I haven't done in my life.
There you go. It should be a great experience, and I'm sure you'll share it all with us. We're looking forward to it. Just word of the wise, you might want to, refrain a little bit from the coffee while you're there.
Oh,
Pat.
I'm going to be totally caffeine free. Whisper, I've been caffeine free all week. So, yeah, I know you make fun of my half a cup a week. It's really coffee colored cream, but
we love it.
Yeah. No, I haven't had. I'm totally caffeine free now for about a week. Yeah, so it just messes up my meditation. I just know as soon as I have almost any kind of caffeine, it's like I have trouble just getting down to level, and then that monkey mind it just jazzes up the monkey and makes
Woo!
Me frustrated.
Jazz up.
And then
that
I don't sleep as well, and you know.
Got it.
No, that, yeah.
Got it.
So yes, I'll be good.
Got to jazz up that monkey. Love for Poultry said that she was excited. She's going on vacation to see her family. And then, of course, Fiona says, vacation to go see family? I think I would rather.
That's
I think
an
oxymoron, I would rather.
Is it?
Yeah, I think I would rather set my own teeth on fire.
Oh, God. Speaking of teeth on fire.
Oh, man. Hey, I've got some interesting chickens in the news. Great chickens in the news. Interesting. I have not read it yet. And so give me a second. I'm going to pull it up here. It came across two different alerts. So let me go down here. You can probably hear it's feeding time.
Yeah.
So let me go down here. Here we go. I like this. And she's only about 3.5 hours away. We've invited her to come on the radio show, but I got a message from this was a year ago or so. A message from her publicist that said it was just she was just too busy to come on our show. So she might need our services now, Pat. So the tide may change with her becoming too busy to come on our radio show, and all of a sudden now possibly needing our help. So here's the title. This comes to us from Savannah Now out of Savannah, Georgia. Ready for this?
Uh-huh.
And let me remind everybody that our Chickens in the News is brought to you by MeyerHatchery.com. Visit them online. In fact, I think this week they're having another sale. Let me see if I can remember this correctly. They're having a production pack, a layer sale. You'll get, I think it's 100 female chicks for $130. Give them a call and tell them I sent you. But I got another email from them that said they're having another sale for certain hatch dates, the production pack. I think they're calling it 100 female chicks for $130, $1.30 a piece. That right there is amazing. Our friends at MeyerHatchery.com up in Polk, Ohio. Okay, wanted to get that out there. Comes to us from Savannah Now. Ready for this? Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to reach out to her to see if she needs our help, Pat. Here we go.
Okay. There we go.
Paula Dean's chickens could be evicted as the county cracks down on zoning. Ha, ha, ha. What comes around goes around. So, yes, Paula Dean, the famous chef, cook, southern cook diva, queen of butter, I guess you want to say, and butter cooking and fried cooking, and who has a nice restaurant in Savannah, apparently. Never been. She has backyard chickens. When we first saw the news article that she did have backyard chickens and a very expensive and beautiful coop, we reached out to see if she'd come on the radio show. And, of course, we got that email back that she was just, too busy, which I can completely understand. Let me see. With a new baby, a move 3 hours away, a book coming out here in the next 3 months, that could go on and go on and go on. I understand busy, Paula. But let me go ahead and read this. When the county zoning administrator told Wilmington Island residents Bill and Jan Lins their backyard chickens had to go, they thought they were being singled out unfairly. Lots of county residents keep chickens, including prominent Islander Paula Dean and Savannah Bee Company founder Ted Denard. Thousands of people in Chatham County keep chickens, Bill Lyons said. It just doesn't make any sense. But there may soon be two fewer celebrity chicken keepers if the county follows through on its promise to investigate their backyard chickens, too. The Lins received a letter in June from Chatham County Zoning Administrator Robert Seebeck citing two violations. They built the chicken coop without a permit. Oh, no! And they're keeping chickens in a zoning district that does not permit that use. Okay, only properties zoned agriculture are allowed to keep chickens, said Gregory Anderson, Director of Building Safety and Regulatory Services for the county. Anderson is Seebeck supervisor. Seebeck was not available Monday. This initial violation came in through a neighborhood complaint. People mind their own business. Anderson said, the zoning that allows chickens is the Agricultural Zoning District RA. The Lens property is zoned R1C, so the gentleman was cited. He gave us the names of other folks who keep chickens, which we are pushing, which we are pursuing. If they're in violation, they'll get the same notice. Clucking with Paula. Public records indicate Dean and Denard's properties are in non-agricultural zones. Dean's publicist, Nancy Ascano, said Dean believes she is in compliance with the zoning ordinance. If the county finds otherwise, Ascano said it would upset Dean to have to get rid of her beloved birds, which were rescued after serving as monitors for West Nile virus for the Chatham County Mosquito Control Board. I don't know what to say. It'll be devastating to her, her publicist said. When she's home, the thing she loves so much to see is her chickens at the start of the day. She holds them like they're little babies. The Dean's chickens have been featured on a video at pauladean.com/videos/single. I'll post it later. Her publicist emphasized the birds were like pets. They're not used for slaughter or anything else, she said. She rescued them. Some of them don't have beaks. She has created an environment for them like Disneyland. But it doesn't matter if chickens are beloved or boiled. What matters is whether a complaint is lodged and how the property is owned. We don't know where chickens are, Anderson said, until somebody complains, that is. That's a whole other story there. A lot of these violations become something because we get calls on them and then pursue them, he said. Denard's chickens were mentioned in a recent Savannah magazine article. The zoning ordinance seems outdated to Denard, though he understands neighbors don't always love the backyard birds. He recently built a $14,000 fence to keep his chickens from being a nuisance to neighbors who complain to him about them. The eggs are probably worth $1,000 at this point, he said, with all the money he's got into his chickens. Still, he'd hate to see his dozen chickens get evicted. Our daughter would be super bummed, he said. It's our daughter's job to take care of them. We love the eggs, as do our neighbors, and we make sure everybody gets some. Savannah allows residents to keep up to 5 hens on their property with stipulations about how far the animals must be kept from occupied buildings. County chicken enthusiasts have fallen back on the city's rules because they say the county animal control ordinance is less clear. In fact, a 2009 Savannah Morning News article, Animal Control Lieutenant Brenda Brover confirmed the county's rules on keeping chickens were similar to Savannah's, up to 4 hens with almost no restrictions and unincorporated parts of the county. Jackie Jackson Teal, Natural Resources Administrator for the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission, that's a mouthful, said it was never the intent of MPC to prohibit keeping chickens. Just the opposite. We're trying to be a more sustainable, green living community, she said. And the story goes on and on and on. It's quite long, I'm sure, since it starts with Paula Dean. So anyway, what we're going to do is I'm going to have Love for Poultry this week reach out and try to contact Paula Dean and this gentleman here and the people on the Wilmington Island down there, just off the coast of Savannah, Georgia, 3.5 hours, maybe 3 hours, 3.5 hours, I think it's about 3 hours away from here. Jen has family that lives just outside of Savannah, and we go down there on occasion to visit or pass through to visit on our way to see my uncle in Florida. But we're gonna reach out to them and see if maybe now that the heat is on, Paula Dean might want to come on our radio show and tell us about her chickens and her birds and her pets and tell us what she fears most about getting rid of them if she has to. And maybe we can offer our hand in support with all of our chicken folks in chicken land across the world and with all of our techniques that we do to help people around the country, which we've been very successful in doing, getting the laws changed to allow backyard poultry. So how about that? We'll keep you abreast of that situation and let you know. And we'll, again, try to contact Paula Dean and her publicist to see if we can't, number one, get her on the radio show and maybe even offer our 2 cents worth to help them battle their city. All righty. You've got some chickens in the news as well, Pat. Let's hear it.
Yeah, I've got one that's upbeat, too. It's not quite as dramatic as Paula Dean's. And you know, who knows, maybe with these celebrities, there are so many celebrities that keep chickens, Martha Stewart, you know, is one of the, and certainly Paula Dean. But maybe this will just help to boost the chicken movement along further. You know, remember when Oprah got a lawsuit because she came out against beef and the Texas meat backers or whoever it was sued her? So maybe this is something that will just help raise awareness to a quantum leap and boost it along faster than it would have gone before.
Yep.
I like to think that anyway. Sure hope she does get to keep her chickens.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, that's a good one. This one, Whisper, comes to us from allafrica.com, and this is from Kenya. And what it is it's another example of how microloans and microbusinesses can really help the whole neighborhood. In this one, Kenya poultry farmers are trained to vaccinate against Newcastle disease. And there's a story. This is Matungula. That's the woman's name that does this work. Every Tuesday and Friday, she wakes up at 5 o'clock to feed her ever-growing flock of now over 300 free-range indigenous chickens. These aren't commercial hybrids. They're indigenous chickens. And then she prepares several doses of the vaccine for Newcastle's disease before she takes off on her bicycle to villages and homesteads within the Matungula district of eastern Kenya. So she's been trained to do this specially along with 60 other people, and she vaccinates the chickens based upon requests that she receives from the poultry farmers in the district. And get this, by the end of each day, she will vaccinate about 800 birds. And she makes enough money to pay for a cost as well as a little bit more. Of course, that's a good business practice. And what they're doing is Newcastle's disease, for those that, you know, it's a virus, and it has no cure, according to this article. Anyway, when it attacks, it can wipe out your entire flock. So the only way to control it is by vaccinating the birds. And so she was trained by the extension office there, and she gets the vaccine from Nairobi, which is about 150 kilometers away. And then the thing with the vaccine is it has to be kept in a cold chain, so it has to be kept cool. So that's part of why it's important to have trained people to do it, so it doesn't get hot, and especially in that tropical climate. So apparently, Newcastle's was one of the major constraints to the production of rural indigenous chickens. I didn't realize that that was such an effect worldwide. Did you?
No.
Yeah, but apparently so. So she also knows the about the effects that Newcastle disease in chickens can have on a business. By the way, it's not contagious to people; it's only to chickens. She said in 2006 she tried keeping the rural chickens on a larger scale, but that Newcastle's attacked and she lost just about all of her birds. She only had a few left, and her neighbor lost an entire flock of 500 broilers to Newcastle's. So that's one of the main reasons why this is a project that's going on. And let's see, they've done, I'm going to paraphrase this because it goes on just a little bit more, but because they are getting vaccinated now, of course, poultry is coming back. And she says that it's helped the economy quite a bit. She bought 30 more of the indigenous, the local chickens for experiment and on her farm, and it's grown to hundreds in just 2 years. I mean, that's another reason why poultry is such a major food supply, is because it is so prolific. And I would guess she's incubating the eggs on her little farm or homestead or whatever she's got. So it says here that they have to keep, there aren't many places that have electricity, whispered there in the rural area in Kenya, so they have to really network to share refrigerators as they go along to do their business. They'll buy the vaccine in the city, and then they store them at different shopkeepers' places at the market who actually have a steady access to electricity and refrigerators. So that's one instance how this has helped changing the local economy by controlling Newcastle's disease and also providing employment to some of the local women. How about that from Kenya?
Very interesting. I wonder what goes into that vaccine, because speaking of how fresh that is from our class last night in human vaccines, that many people don't know that formaldehyde, which was recently the FDA recently confirmed as a carcinogen, formaldehyde goes as an ingredient in human vaccines, as well as monkey kidney tissue. Yep, monkey kidney tissue is in several vaccines, and as well as formaldehyde. Let's see, it's in. It says, may contain foreign viruses. The polio vaccine was contaminated with a monkey virus, now turning up in human bone, lung lining, brain tumors, and lymphomas. It's in, the Hep B vaccination, the polio, the rotavirus, the Pedirax, the Lipol, and the Rototech. That was the brands. It's in the Hep B vaccination, which is produced by Pedirex, the polio vaccine, which is a brand, which is Lipoil, and the rotavirus from Rotatech. Those are the manufacturers. That's the monkey kidney disease, not to mention the formaldehyde, which is a major constituent of embalming fluid. It's poisonous if ingested.
Yep.
Yet it's okay to put in our kids. It says probable carcinogen, but just recently I got a news report that the FDA is now categorizing it as a carcinogen. It's suspected to have gastrointestinal, liver, immune system, nerve, reproductive system, and respiratory poisons. It's linked to leukemia, brain and colon, and lymphatic cancer. And it is in a whole list, if I went down all of these. It's in the flu virus, in the flu vaccine, and the Hep A and many of the Hep B virus vaccines. Aluminum, of course. Is in there. We know about the chicken embryo and, of course, the bovine protein. And, it's pretty out there. Monosodium glutamate, and the list goes on. But let me give you some other factual
MSG
information.
MSG is in vaccines?
Yeah. It's
is that
in,
what you just said?
Yeah, MSG,
why?
Monosodium glutamate. It's a neurotoxin being studied for a reproductive, it's a known allergy. It's for a stabilizer. They're naming it as a stabilizer. Monosodium glutamate is a stabilizer. What it stabilizes in the vaccine, it's in the influenza, the MMR, the varicella, and the varicella zoster vaccines. Monosodium glutamate, yep. The monkey kidney tissue is a growth medium. Of course, we know about ThermoSol, but let me give you this other information that was very interesting. Here it is. This comes right to us. I mean, this is from the CDC. If you trust the CDC, then I got some property to sell you, oceanfront property in Arizona. I just thought this was very entertaining. CDC reports, and then VAERS, which is also a government agency that where you report your injuries and deaths and side effects from vaccines. Doctors report it to this agency, which was developed by Congress and the Senate. Measles. This is from since 1988. Just to throw you some numbers here, since 1988. Again, this chart shows the number of cases of infectious diseases reported to the CDC since 1988. And it's compared to the vaccine injuries reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting Service during the same time period. So here we go, just an idea. Okay, since 1988, 64,399 cases of measles. Okay, 64,399 cases of measles with 141 deaths. Okay, 64,399 cases of measles since 1988, 141 deaths. Now, injuries to the vaccine from the measles vaccine, 57,456. Okay, so let's see, that's just roughly 7,000 less injuries from the vaccine than actually got measles to begin with. And then ready for this? 141 deaths to measles since 1998, but 242 deaths from the vaccine.
Oh,
so
Lord.
More people died from the vaccine since 1998 than have died from measles since 1998. 141 deaths to measles from 1988, 242 deaths since 1988. So imagine that. And ready for this? Mumps? This is another one. Mumps, okay? 40,843 people have gotten mumps, according to the CDC, since 1988, with 14 deaths. 14 people have died from the mumps since 1988, according to the CDC. Okay, ready for this? 40,000 cases of mumps, but 56,000 injuries from the vaccine. 56,000, so 16,000 more injuries from the vaccine than cases. And then 14 people died from the mumps since 1988, but 237 people have died from the vaccine since 1988. So 20 times more people died from the vaccine, it looks like here, according to my math, than the disease itself. So truly, truly amazing regarding some of these. Here's one that's even more staggering. Since 1988, 77 people have had polio, where 77 people, polio, 67,000 had injuries from the vaccine, Two people have died from polio since – this is staggering here. Two people have died from polio since 1988, according to the CDC. How many people have died from the polio vaccine? 1,924. 1,924 died from the vaccine, according to two people that actually got the disease since 1988. So truly, truly staggering. And so I'm with the government. I'm here to help. That is today's quote. And we will we will be back right after this break.
Yeah.
And we're going to
whisper.
Go ahead.
There's just a comment in the chat room that I think is worthy of bringing up, and that's from Stranger Mama. I guess she goes as the devil's advocates. The lack of disease deaths that might be because the vaccines were preventing them. I mean, there is another side to this story.
What's that? Go ahead.
The lack of the deaths due to the disease of the people who got vaccinated, that might be due to them preventing the deaths because they got vaccinated.
That's interesting. I have a chart here that shows the United States mortality rates based, and this is a theory and a test that, again, a test is just that, whether it's for or against vaccines. When I used to teach doctors and nurses and all as an American Heart Association Training Center owner, and we would refer to studies, I would make this comment that kind of puts it all in perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Certain cancers have been shown to be reduced by orange juice, okay? Study paid for by Minute Maid. So again, a study on either way is just that, a study. Whoever's paying for the study, you got to look at that. But, I mean, certain cancers are reduced by drinking orange juice, study paid for by Minute Maid. I have a chart here that shows the decline of the disease over time, even before the vaccines for these particular diseases were created. A lot of people will interpret this study that, you know, due to the improved living conditions of not just America, but other countries as well. Clean water to wash your hands, clean water to drink, better living conditions, that we saw an actual decline in most, if not all, of these diseases before the vaccine was even created and put out there to start being given. And so you can see that steady decline. And then when the vaccine comes down, it continues to decline, but no faster than it was declining anyway due to better living conditions, clean water, and whatnot. That's a pretty interesting study as well. And people will argue that. We heard it last night that many of these diseases were on a steep decline anyway, even before the vaccine was invented and created and started giving it to people. And even then, once it was given, it didn't show any more decline than it was already, based on percentage, declining over the years. It shows from 1900 all the way, 1900 to 1963. Where the measles vaccine was introduced in 1963, and you can see by the time it was even released or introduced, it was down around it was amazing how it was already naturally coming down based on just education living conditions and things like that. It's an interesting chart. We got a lot of interesting information last night, so it's just one of those things. We're not going to convince anybody one way or the other. I just encourage you to read the facts, read the studies, and take those with a grain of salt. But and do your own research as a parent and make your own decision. I guess if you live in Africa or maybe a third world country, you might have a different reason to take a vaccine. But it's just interesting information. And there was a gentleman last night that said that and had that point that, well, you know, we've eradicated a lot of this stuff because of vaccine, and people were very quick to point out this chart that shows, well, depending on what you look at and what your theory is on why they were actually – the numbers were declining and stayed declining, and the decline didn't increase at all even after the vaccine was introduced versus how it was declining before the vaccine was introduced. So pretty interesting. We're going to go to break. We'll come back. We're going to welcome our very good friend, Christine Heinrich, out in California. And you're not going to want to miss today's show. So we'll be back right after this short break from our sponsors. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists.
With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made BidBird Auctions their new home. And get sold on BidBird. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, technology you can trust. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Hey, Pat, got a question for you.
Yeah, what's that?
How do you like the new switchboard?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I love the colors.
It's pretty neat. When I signed on this morning, I knew they were going and updating it, and it's really, really looking high tech, like I'm operating a spaceship or something. and it's just like, okay, now I gotta not only start running this thing, but figure out how to run it as well. One thing I posted in the chat room as well that amazes a lot of people is that, and then I'm gonna shut up about vaccines. I hear the applause in the background. Yay! That the dose. The dose for, and most, if not all, of these vaccines, the dose, or the vaccine itself, is the same dose for a 4-hour-old baby as it is a 24-year-old man or woman. The dose is the same whether you're 4 pounds and 4 hours old or 240 pounds and 19 years old. So that was a concern last night. And then, of course, the amount you get it all at one given time versus the no vaccine versus the delayed vaccine versus the full dose. And I'll tell you, it's just like life. If you've had a child that within 2 or 3 hours of having one had a seizure and died, well, then guess what? You're going to have a different opinion than somebody who got the full dose of vaccines in the first, 2 years and nothing happened. So it's just life. And so you have to make your own decision whether your child died from the vaccine or they're doing, quote, unquote, okay. So it's just one of those things and a topic that we'll agree to disagree on for the rest of our lives. Just one of those things. Just like keeping chickens or not keeping chickens. Just like some people love cats and some people hate cats. So speaking of chickens, let's go ahead and go over to the phone lines and welcome our wonderful friend, Christine Heinrich, author of How to Keep Chickens and How to Keep Poultry, two absolutely fabulous publications that are chock full of absolutely the most amazing photos you've ever seen, and which are, I guess the term is approved or endorsed by the FFA, the Future Farmers of America, has their seal right on the cover, and you can find her books at poultrybookstore.com. That's poultrybookstore.com, or, of course, you can find them, as always, on Amazon as well. Christine Heinrich, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Andy. How are you doing?
I am hanging in there. I couldn't be better. I woke up this morning and didn't see dirt, so I'm doing all right.
Well, that's true. Every day spent above ground is a good day.
It's a good day. Yes, ma'am. So just kind of one of those things. You just grin and bear it and go along with life. I can tell you right now, and I'll be honest with everybody and all my listeners out there, if ever I'm having a tough day, regardless of what it is, if I have the flu, if I have a cold, if I've got back pain, if I'm just tired and worn out, if I get a little depressed about this or that or the other, to be honest, all I have to do is think about, or even if I read just a portion of the book of Job from the Bible, it kind of gives me perspective. Or if you're not into that, if you have different religious beliefs, then all you have to do is think about or go visit a children's hospital, and or think about maybe a relative or loved one that's battling cancer or a child that's battling a brain tumor, and then all of a sudden your problems just don't seem to be all that big after all. So that's kind of my theory on having a bad day. What is the definition of a bad day? Well, just ask a few people and you'll find out. So I'm doing well. I hope you're doing well. We're so glad to have you on. The last Thursday of every month, we welcome Christine Heinrich, which is not only a successful author and writer, but she's also a historian with the Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities. And so they do great, great work, and she's quite busy. You're a very busy lady traveling all over the country for different types of events, for writers and people who publish articles, and you stay very busy. You travel a lot, I see on Facebook, and when you're here, it seems like you're always jet-setting off somewhere after the show to stay busy. So you truly
love
what you do.
Well, I do manage to keep myself entertained, Andy. We do have an event coming up in September over Labor Day weekend. I'll be going up to Marin County, which is the county north of San Francisco, to the Mother Earth News Fair.
Oh, yeah.
And, oh, wonderful.
Yeah, they've been having really – I haven't talked with Jeanette Berenger lately about how the most recent one came up. I wanted to give her time to sort of recover because I know what a big effort that's been and how exhausting that can be. But they've had huge crowds at those, and they're definitely serving a need in providing information and providing a place for people to come who want to get started or want to move ahead with all kinds of projects that concern you, the sustainable lifestyles and growing our own food and eating better and taking better care of ourselves. So I'm looking forward to that, and I will certainly give you a report on that later in September after I'm back from there.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And I know you're going to meet so many people up there. They just have, Mother Earth News Magazine, Grit Magazine. Wow, their reach is huge, and they have the who's who with basically what they're all about at these big events. And I know they have twice a year they have these Mother Earth News fairs, and I'm hoping one day one will be kind of close to me where I can swing by and get to one. But yeah, definitely keep us informed about how that event goes.
Yeah, they actually are having three this year. They had the one in Pennsylvania last year, and then they've had one in Washington State, and then they're going to have this one in California. So, you know, I think it's definitely something that they are increasing, and hopefully there will be one closer to you that will, and you know, make these things available really around the country to everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Whisper, there is one in Pennsylvania, and I know you'd be welcome to come to it.
I got your email on that, Pat, yeah?
Yeah.
And that's going to be coming up this fall?
Yes, yeah.
I think it's later in September. I'd have to check on that. Let me check on that, get the dates on that. But that's a
possibility.
It's September 16th to the 18th.
Okay.
And I'll be giving three presentations there, and I know, you know, we could share a table again if you wanted to, but if now that you've got your baby born and you're moved, maybe that's a ball to pick up again.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, there's so many things going on September, October. You know, September, there's the, I think in September there's the big Bradley Caldwell event that's going on in Atlantic City, and they stay at like the Trump Tower there. And when I covered the BCI event there in Pennsylvania this past year, they talked about having me cover this event in Atlantic City. So we talked about maybe that being kind of the anchor to a portion of our book tour. And then, of course, there's Crossroads that's going on, I think, in October up in Indianapolis, which I would love to attend and cover as well. And then there's now this Mother Earth News Fair that's going on in September as well. So I've got to look at these three dates. I know we probably won't be able to hit them all, but we will definitely see which one may work best for us in our schedule and our tour. You know, this is top secret, but I'm going to tell you anyway. We may start. In fact, I just got a whole boatload of postcards from the publisher with our book information. I got to start mailing out or sending to folks or putting on tables. But we may start our book tour down in Florida near Titusville. I'll say one of our sponsors is down there. We may not get all the way down to Miami, but we may start it this fall in Titusville. At Brency.com. I've got a contact at my contact there and see if they would like to maybe kick off the book tour from Titusville and then head start there and then go up the coast and then maybe stop at GQF there in Savannah and then head up and I'll see what other sponsors are on the way up north to either end it in Indianapolis for Crossroads or end it at the fair, the Mother Earth News Fair, are ended up in Atlantic City with the BCI event up there. So, God, there's so many right there coming this fall that you'd have to own. Well, of course, you know, Pat and Christine, since y'all own your own private jet, it's not as big an issue.
We share one.
Okay. But with the regular folks like me who tries to keep a level head about themselves and, I'm not quite the successful author as you two are, so a private jet hasn't come my way yet. But for me, it's dealing with, the flying. I mean, I read actually yesterday, it's nationwide news. It was on CNN where TSA made a lady who was, I think she was suffering from, I want to say leukemia, took her adult diaper off going through airport security. TSA did this. It's all over the news now and getting all kinds of things. So I'm not a big fan of flying. We would probably drive, obviously, and make the trip, so that wouldn't be an issue unless the TSA starts checking adult diapers at toll booths across America, which I wouldn't put it past them. But, yeah, since y'all have your own private jet, maybe we'll see you at one of those events.
I'm sure it will happen eventually. If not this year, then definitely next.
Gotta love it.
Definitely. Yeah, that's on the list.
Well, let's talk about poultry.
Your comments about poultry in Africa. I had an interesting connection with that this week. A company called the Posy Company, I'm a needlework person myself, and they have created a counted cross-stitch designs that includes three kinds of chickens and turkeys, as well as other historic rare breeds, hogs and sheep and cattle. And so I was thinking the other day I'd like to work on this, and I've had it for a couple of years, and I had actually put it in my book, How to Raise Poultry, in the arts section. And so I contacted the woman who had designed this, and she said that, she was very glad that I had, because just recently a friend of hers had taken my book, which I sent her in thanks for letting me include the cross-stitch patterns in it, is taking it to Africa, where he's working with a project to create flocks of chickens for people who need better food. And, you know, a single egg a day can make a huge difference in the life of a poor child. And that, as you point out, flocks can really increase, and they can be an important part of not only the diet but the wealth of poor agrarian families in third world countries. So, you know, that's something. And traditional breeds are the only breeds that are going to work under those circumstances. The industrial birds cannot reproduce themselves. They're hybrids. When they lay eggs and those eggs hatch, you just get a mishmash. You know, it's like saying, well, if we cross, you know, two cockapoos, we'll get a poodle. Well, it doesn't work that way.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
So they really need those adapted local breeds. And I was approached by a friend the other day. We're going to start working on a piece about Fayumis, which are the Egyptian chickens. And there's not much out there about them, but they are, of course, very well adapted to desert conditions, to managing well in the heat. And so I look forward to working with him on that. The National Geographic this month, get that July issue. They've got a beautiful article on what they call the food arc, and they're looking at all the traditional breeds of not only livestock but also of crops. But they open that article with a two-page spread of traditional chicken breeds. They've got some beautiful pictures there, and including a speckled Sussex, and I have to put in a word, I got two new pullets yesterday, and one of them is a speckled Sussex. I'm excited to have her. She's a little beauty.
How many chickens are you up to now? I know you had to get rid of your roosters because of an ornery neighbor, but how many are you up to now, Christine?
So I just have the four. I just had two before, and I thought, well, that's just not enough. So
no.
I found these other two. So we're working our way up two by two. So
It sounds like you have a lot more self-control than a lot of us out there that love our chickens. When we had a meetup meeting in Atlanta, we had about 40 show up, and it was a lot of newbies, and we ran around the room and said, tell us your name, where you're from, how many chickens you started with, and how many you have now. And it was like, we started with four, and now we have 200. And
That's right.
Sounds like with your two at a time, you have a lot more self-control than most chicken lovers out there.
Well, you know, I live in the country, but I actually live on a very small piece of property. So, you know, and as witness my rooster problem, I'm not in a position to get involved with breeding. I'm disappointed at that, but that's, you know, the situation I'm in. But I can have these backyard layers and have them. You know, and having unusual breeds, it's a way I can bring them to shows. I can also use them at when I do a presentation. I was at the library a few weeks ago, and there, I'll tell you, there's no, I don't have to tell you, I'm sure you know this, there's nothing like having some live birds with you when you go out. That just excites people, and they get really interested, and they really understand what you're talking about a whole lot better if they can see a bird right there.
Absolutely. It's like a magnet. People just are just drawn to it.
And children, it's very good. And then the parents see how excited the kids get about it, and then they get excited. So it's really wonderful to have them. So I'm very happy to have these girls, and I look forward to them developing the same star quality that my white Dorking and Buttercup have, and that they will be out and about. This
Wonderful.
Article on the traditional breeds makes the point, which I think is a really good one, that the breeders themselves are the repository of so much knowledge about their breed and where they live and what the conditions are like, and that they are as much, and they and their specialized knowledge are as much endangered as the breeds that they're caring for. And of course, that's one of the things that I'm always concerned about as we as people become more accustomed to buying you know, a bunch of Red Stars or whatever hybrid from a hatchery, that undermines the support for those traditional breed breeders who would be happy to sell them starters or chicks or even hatching eggs from their flock. And unless people understand that importance of traditional breeds, that continues to be a problem, and we're losing those breeders. You know, if they can't sell their birds, if there isn't a market out there, they can't keep this going. So that's why you're performing a valuable service here, Andy, by talking about chickens.
Gotta love it. And we Pat and I, as you know, because you talk to Pat quite a bit as well off the air, and we do work, I must say, really hard to try to make the programming good, and I think our numbers and listeners show it, and around the country, and the people who just mentioned the show out here, someone said, oh, people were talking about your show down at the, what was it, down in Savannah, it was the Georgia Organics, da-da-da-da, where your ears burning, all this kind of stuff, but it's only because we have awesome, because people don't want to sit here and listen to me yap about whatever rant I'm on, and of course, Pat and her bad chicken jokes, so it's, So really, the show is all about our guests, which, again, we search around the country to find the awesome guests that people actually want to hear, like yourself and Dr. McRae, Richard Frudenberger, and Peter Brown, and Arlena with gardening and whatnot. So it's not me and Pat. It's our wonderful guests who are truly experts in their field that bring the interesting information like you do, Christine. So it's such a pleasure to have you on all the time. But thank you for your comment. I'll refer back to you and the guest that we have on is making the show what it is.
Well, I thought I'd talk a little bit today about the speckled Sussex.
I've
posted a couple of pictures on my blog. That's poultrybookstore.blogspot.com from this wonderful book by David Scrivener. He's an English poultry judge and has been involved for many years. And, of course, the Sussex is an English breed. Was recognized at the early part of the 20th century from flocks that were being kept in the county of Sussex in England. And it was originally recognized in the four varieties. It's not just speckled. There's also brown, red, and light, which is like a light Brahma in color. It's that Colombian pattern. So that's they're a really nice bird, and I'm excited. It's my first experience with Sussex, so I'll have to see how this goes. And every bird teaches me something different about their breed, about themselves as individuals. This girl's very active already this morning. She's made friends with the other two birds. They're all getting along well. That was a pleasure, because you know what that can be like if you introduce birds and they don't get along well. So, but she's got a lot of personality, and the first that we had them separated, we put a little fence in between the existing two birds and the two new girls so that they could just get to know each other and, you know, work out those pecking order issues, and we wouldn't have any attacks. And the first thing they did was fly right over the fence, so ended that, yes, so much for our good plan.
So did you clip one of their wings?
Not yet. You know, we've got the run that we have them in, we do have covered with netting, so they should not be able to fly out. They were just able to fly from one part of the run into the other part. So, but aren't they cute? You know, that's what chickens do. They always come up with whatever you think of, they can think of something else to do with you.
Yeah, no. that fence hopping gets old really fast. It's interesting to me how they can hop out but not back in. That's
well,
what I don't
there's
understand.
Always that, yes.
I mean, there they are by the coop door, you know, just hunkered down. It's after dark.
Running
I
back and forth.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
upset that they're on the wrong side, but how did they get there? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's chickens.
Yeah, I usually find new homes for those. They're just too high maintenance, and I don't want to put up a higher fence. So if the clip wing doesn't work, I usually find another place for them.
Well, these girls are young. They're just 4 months old, so they were hatched in February, so they're pretty small yet. They're sort of like 13-year-olds, you know. They're not full-grown by any stretch of the imagination.
A little teenage drama queen.
A little of the drama queen. Yes, they're adorable.
what are the names?
I haven't named them yet. I'm sort of waiting. I sort of like to get to know them a little bit. And although the English Sussex girl I'm thinking might be Fanny. So
Fanny?
Fanny, yes. That's sort of an old-fashioned English name.
Yeah.
So we'll see about her and what's going to happen with her. I had a report about one of my roosters last week who moved down to Morro Bay, which is a town about 30 miles south of here, and was living in a sort of group home for any kind of chickens and other birds that for some reason had become homeless. And so there were quite a few roosters there. That's often placing surplus roosters is always a problem. And it's being run by a fellow who has a landscape service. So one of the things he's done is start a large compost pile, and he's put the roosters to work turning the compost.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's
and
right.
How's that
and
working?
They love to have a job, and they are naturally well inclined toward that. And so they are all working out very well down there. And it's cut down on the fighting since they have so much work to do.
Yes, that will. Distraction or a life with a purpose does cut down on fighting. It works for people as well as chickens, I hear.
You are quite right. That's where the old saying, idle hands are the devil's playground.
That's right.
That's certainly true. Yes, if they don't have enough to do, then they're getting in trouble.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I remember Les Walenza. Remember when he was with the strikes there in was it Poland?
Poland.
Yes. He was saying he came to America and he said, "America, give us your generals. We want your generals, General Motors, General Foods. We need jobs."
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us about the eggs of the Sussex, the eggs, the frequency, the size, color.
Well, you know, she hasn't started laying yet, let me look this up in the book and see exactly what they've got to say about that. They did add into them some of the heavy oriental breeds, the Brahmas and Cochins and Shanghais, into developing them to get them to be a somewhat larger bird. I believe they're brown egg layers. I acquired them from Larry Stallings, who's an APA judge as well as the president of our local club. Uh-huh. And he's trying to encourage people to keep different breeds rather than sticking to the Leghorns and the more the Rhode Island Reds. So he also has acquired some blue Wyandottes that he is raising. That sort of refers to the discussion we had last month about the color blue. He said that they are really sort of a starter project because although they're supposed to have that uniform self blue color, these do in fact have some lacing and some black in the feathers. So he's kind of hoping that there'll be someone local who will take them on as a project. He's got hundreds of his own birds now, and he doesn't need another project. But he's got those, and he just didn't want to let them go by. Another member had offered them as a trio and was unwilling to split up the trio, and there were no takers for this. So Larry took them on. It's always, you know, that's a big concern because you know, it's sad to see that even though there are young people and these were at a show, there was no one willing to take on a breeding project that is going to require some years of commitment. But it's unusual and interesting. And, of course, the Wyandotte's a wonderful breed, a terrific American breed that has a lot of...
Oh, they're beautiful.
And they're beautiful, yes. And to have an unusual color, you know, they'd be certainly the focus of any show. And yet they've gone sort of orphaned, but Larry has stepped into the breach and he's got them and he's continuing work with them. He's going to try to find someone for them at the next show, the next local show, probably in October. He may bring them to the Ventura show, which is a national show that's in November. So if anyone's interested, send me a message on that, and we can put you in touch with Larry about Blue Wyandottes.
Great. Okay. Christine, there's a couple. There are three questions for you in the chat room. One is, Love for Poultry wants to know where you got the cross-stitch patterns.
Okay, yes. I got those from the Posey Collection, and if you will go to my blog and put in the search box Heritage Breeds Cross Stitch, that will come up with the picture and the name Posey Collection, and you can also Google Posey Collection and look for historic rare breed animals, and that will come up. If that doesn't help you, just email me and I'll send you the links.
Okay.
I personally got mine at the Plymouth Plantation shop in Massachusetts. So if you are a cross stitcher and you have a shop where you regularly do business, you can ask them and they can probably help you find it too.
Okay, great. There you go. Question number two, Christine, is they're trying to find good sources for purchasing heritage and antiquities breeds. Is there a list of breeders with proven lines?
Absolutely. The SPPA and the ALBC both publish breeders' directories. So you can contact Chuck. Isn't that terrible? I know his name like my own. Chuck Everett is the Secretary Treasurer of the Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities, and I can give you his phone number. Is 803-960-2114, or it's creverett with two T's at bellsouth.net. And he can give you a copy of the SPPA Breeders Directory, and that lists the SPPA members who are and what they have, what kind of birds they have, and how to get a hold of them. The ALBC, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, also publishes a Rare Breeds Directory. Now, that, you know, it's a little bit complicated to use. These things are always difficult because every breeder doesn't keep just one breed. They've all got more than one, so it's always complicated to find a way to list these efficiently. But they do have listings of chickens as well as ducks and geese and turkeys. And you can find people who are near you. They're listed by state, so that helps. I think it's always preferable to find the closest possible breeder, both for climatic reasons and because it's less stressful to transport birds shorter distances as well as less expensive.
Well, I don't know. It depends on the driver, Christine. I mean,
that's for sure.
I've gone short distances with high stress.
Yeah, that's true. Just around the block can be pretty stressful.
But
those are both excellent sources. If you have a breed in mind, you can also try contacting the breed club because they may have other breeders that are closer to you. Do a little homework. If you have access to the Internet, that's probably the quickest way. If you don't, give people a phone call because everyone's on the phone, and we can help you find what you're looking for.
Yeah, the Internet is amazing when it comes to finding resources. And, of course, check with bidbird.com.
Absolutely.
All the time gets exotic breeds and eggs coming up. So there's a plethora of resources.
Yes, there's a lot of ways to go. Now, you do have to, you know, one of the things about going to one of the auction sites is that those breeders are not vetted. And so you need to do a little bit more research on those. If you find someone who claims they have something, you might want to do a little more research on that person, talk to them, talk to other people who have dealt with them. Because I have heard reports of people who say, oh, well, I bought, you know, some kind of eggs that were supposed to be a blue chicken, and they turned out not to breed true, and problems like that. So, you know, but just do your research and also be philosophical. You know, sometimes I feel situations like that, well, you didn't get exactly what you had in mind, but maybe you got something that's going to work out for you better. You know, when you're involved with traditional breeds, you can't really be in a hurry, and things are rarely what you imagined they'd be. They're never perfect, and you're always working toward perfection.
Oh, not me.
Oh, you're going to be perfect when you come out of 5 days of silence. I'm sure of that.
Oh, my God. I want my dragon's oils come out, I think.
Oh, I bet it's going to be wonderful. I hope you'll let us all know just how it works out, because I think it'll be great. I do yoga at least once a week myself.
Good for you. Excellent.
Oh, gosh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I still can't get in the lotus position. So I don't know how
just
the ankle
keep working at it. See, that's what I mean. See, you're working toward it.
Oh, dear.
Well, it's about time for chicken trivia, so we're going to have to get to that. We've got a great prize from our good friends over at eggcartons.com today. But, Christine, thank you so much for joining us today, as always. If you enjoy what you hear, go ahead and visit poultrybookstore.com, and you can see Christine's blog through that website. You can get her books. There's a whole list of poultry shows that go on across America. It's a really, really great resource, poultrybookstore.com. And, of course, tune in the last Tuesday the fourth Tuesday of every month. We welcome Christine Heinrich, author and historian with the SPPA. Christine, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always a pleasure, and good luck to you with all your travels and the Mother Earth News Fair. Please let us know how that pans out.
I sure will, Andy. Thanks a lot.
All right,
thank you, Christine. It's always a treat.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. All righty, Pat, I had to tell you as well, we're going to go to break here, and let me get the switchboard back up over here. Hang on. There we go. And this will be Andy's rant for tomorrow. Tomorrow is another great episode of Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Tomorrow, again, everybody loves gardening. So Garden Wise Living with Arlena will be our show tomorrow. Then Thursday, we're going to welcome poultry scientist Dr. McCray will be here Thursday. And then another great fun Friday this week, I have a feeling, is going to fly by. But yesterday, when we headed up to Atlanta, we stopped by the house, collected our mail and whatnot, and we finally got in our hospital bill from the stay for delivering Caleb. Yep, it was truly amazing, and I opened it up and I started going through it. Now I'll elaborate on this a little bit more tomorrow during our host chat and Andy's rant time. But the total so far, and it's probably a little bit more than this because I don't know, there's all the little peon bills you get from the anesthesia and all that. But apparently, right now the total to deliver a baby, at least in North Fulton Hospital, the northern suburbs of Atlanta, is, ready for this? $34,000.
Your bill was $34,000?
$34,000.
Are you serious?
So I promise. That's this black ink right on the bill.
Oh my God.
So I will let everybody know it is line item for the most part, and I will share with you. I got to do a little research. I'm going to call them and pick their brain a little bit before I go on air with it tomorrow. But
oh my God, that's a house down payment, you know.
It appears that and I just want to confirm this. It looks like we got charged about $50 for a Sharpie. what they call a marking pin, which was a supply during the OR because she had a C-section. So a marking pin was $50, which I'm sure is probably nothing more than a Sharpie. So I'm gonna confirm that. A nasal cannula. And see, I was in the healthcare field for a decade or more, and even ran a training center for the American Heart Association. And so we would order a lot of these supplies to train doctors and nurses and ALS, BLS, ACLS in classes. So nasal cannula, I think they charge us about $50. $50 for a little nasal cannula oxygen tube, which I can probably get for about $3 anywhere online. So, ready for this? $11 for an Advil. Yep, $11 for an ibuprofen. So I'm going to go through some of this tomorrow during our host chat, but I'm going to call them and confirm that they are. I said I just want to make sure and confirm my beliefs that y'all are smoking crack there at the hospital, because you're charging us $50 for a Sharpie and $50 for a nasal cannula, which I can buy right now for about $3. Just want to make sure that I'm confirming this correctly, and that y'all are smoking crack, and that's why this bill reflects what it does. Now, we do have good insurance. So right now, from the bill, the proposed amount we owe after the deductible, things like that, out of $34,000 ends up being about $1,400. So they said, we have received a check from your insurance company and your balance is $1,400, but when you look at the total bill, $34,000. To pop out a kid this day and age, at least at North Fulton Hospital. And we know why, because they're charging $11 for an Advil, $50 for a Sharpie, and about $50 for a $2 nasal cannula. So we're gonna have some fun when I call them today and pick their brain about this line item. And you can't do anything about it. I just want to hear some of their response and give them a little bit of HELL about it. So it's now time for Chicken Trivia today. We have a great prize from our good friends at eggcartons.com. We've got a fresh eggs for sale sign. It's not the yard sign they have available at eggcartons.com. This looks more like a kind of the old-fashioned metal sign that you can put up on your coop or use decor, say, in your kitchen. It's really nice. And I posted the link in the chat room a little earlier. So thanks to our good friends eggcartons.com for today's Chicken at Trivia prize. And today, since it's been a little while, We decided to just kind of go a little crazy, and Pat is going to honor us with one of her chicken trivia, one of her chicken jokes. So if you know the answer to the, go ahead, Pat, tell us the joke. We'll take caller number four. Caller number four, if you know.
Caller number four, and everyone heard it. Andy requested a random and some of the worst internet jokes. So this is a request from CW himself. The question is, what did the duck say when she bought lipstick? What would a duck say when she buys lipstick? That's the question. What would a duck say when she bought lipstick?
Okay, there it is. It's posted in the chat room. What did the duck say when she bought lipstick? That, if you know, caller number four, 347-637-3237.
Oh, bad.
347-637-3237. Call now. Call number four. We don't have much time left. We want to get a big winner for today, because you're going to win that awesome eggcartons.com fresh eggs for sale sign. It's really, really nice. The first time I have seen this one. Call number four. So you got to have fast fingers. Dial right now, and we're going to win her here in just a minute. If you know, what did the duck say when she bought? Now, Pat, how do you know if it was a she? How do you know if it wasn't a male duck that bought
it? The Drake would have said the same thing.
Okay.
He would have said exactly the same thing. Yep.
Very good.
What does a duck ever say when they buy lipstick? This is a standard line.
Tater Farm says
all the
she
ducks
knew,
know this.
Tater Farm says she knew the answer to this back when she was 3 years old.
Yeah, that's not where this comes from. I love the third grade jokes. They get me cracking up all the time. Yeah. It says, Kendra Chitch says, I'm not sure what the duck would say, but she would look an awful lot like those girls on the internet with their extremely puckered up and weird lip photos.
347.
Remember Daisy Duck? She always had lipstick on.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay, let's see if this person actually knows. Let's see, where we are. Where are we here? Got to be quick. Caller number four. Caller number four, you're on the air with Andy and Pat, calling in from area code 912. 912, you're on the air.
Hi, Andy. It's Fiona.
Fiona,
Fiona.
You've got lucky fingers. You won a couple of times here recently. Tell us, we've got 90 seconds left. What do you think what do you think the answer is, my friend?
Just put it on my bill.
That's it.
Groan.
I know it's a groan. Congratulations, Fiona.
All right, we've got about 60 seconds left. Fiona, you know the drill. Just send me over your name, shipping address, and phone number, and that's what we will do. So, Pat, take it away. About 70 seconds.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks today to our special guest, Christine Heinrich. She's the historian for the Society for the Preservation of Poultry Antiquities and the author of How to Raise Poultry. Thank you so much, Christine. It's always interesting and a treat. Of course, Andy Schneider, congratulations to you for you got moved, you got your baby, you got your bill.
Yeah.
And you still got your sense of humor. So that's wonderful. Of course, thanks to our chat room chickeneers for clucking along and for all our listeners that tune in with us. Blog Talk Radio.com provides the radio, the chat, and the video services. And, of course, all you poultry pioneers, we love you all so much. Blessings to all of you, and may the flock be with you evermore. God bless everybody.